Out of Sight.net presents Pete Lane of Blind Abilities. Questions by Mary Kay Newman, January 29th, 2017.
This evening I'll be interviewing Mr. Pete Lane, a friend of several of us here in the room, and it's an honor to have him here with us. Pete is the developer of the Blind Abilities website. I hope some of you have had an opportunity to look through that website. Very helpful. And he does it all for the blind community. Now I'm going to do as I normally do in an interview. I'm going to interview Pete, question and answer, for about 40 minutes. So I ask that you hold your questions until the end. And when I've gone through the list of general questions, I will open it up for questions at the end. So, if you don't mind, I'm just going to go right on ahead with question number one. Pete, welcome in. Let me let the mic up and allow you to say hello to the crew. This is some of us, and we're very anxious to hear your side of the story.
Well, hi, everybody. Yes, I am Pete Lane. I want to clarify, first of all, what Mary said. I did not develop the website. My podcast partner, Jeff Thompson, developed the Blind Abilities website, and he is the website administrator, does all the back-end work. And I'm just merely a partner of Jeff's in podcasting, pretty much. So, but I'm honored to be here. I really am. I've heard so much about the Out of Sight community. I'm so thankful to Mary Kay and to Garrett Jackson and, of course, to Deb for helping me get to the website. It's been a chore because I'm a Mac user, and you may have heard that Macs don't really get into outofsight.net very easily, so I'm borrowing a PC, and just really thankful to be on board. Thanks a lot.
Yes, Pete has gone through Overhill or Underdale, whatever it is, just to be here with us, so we're going to make him very welcome. Thank you so much, Pete. I'm just going to go ahead and jump in with my first question. I like to get personal stuff out of the way. So, Pete, tell me about your own visual acuity and what caused the blindness. How long have you been blind? That kind of stuff.
Sure, Mary. I'm actually retired after a long career with the federal government. I'm that revenue or worked for the IRS for almost 40 years. But I was first diagnosed with a retinal degeneration when I was 8 years old, and I managed to get through school, mainstream schooling, high school, and 2 years of college with, I'll say, they call them Feinblum lenses. I'm not sure if anyone here is old enough to know the name Feinblum, but he's a ophthalmologist from New York City who developed the really thick magnifying lenses, and I was able to navigate through my course material and curriculum through school with that. I had limited vision. I was able to, for a few years, ride bikes and play some sports, never did drive, but my vision really went south in the 90s and to the point where I was using Zoom text with extreme magnification and eventually Zoom text with speech in the late 90s until about 2000 when I migrated to JAWS. So I consider that I have been essentially totally blind since about the turn of the century, about 2000. But it's since progressed to pretty close to Stargardt's disease. So my life has been full. I'm married. I've got two grown children. And as I said, I've had a full career with the federal government, and right now I'm just retired and enjoying the passion of podcasting.
Thank you, Pete. And yesterday we had a demonstration on the Ira glasses, and Pete's son works for them as one of the assistants that you get when you call in on your Ira glasses, and we're very proud of that. Pete, it's good to know that we have a good guy out there. So my next question for you, Pete, is, you lost your vision after the 2 years of college, or started having real serious problems with that. Did you go on with your education? And if you did, why?
Yes, I didn't finish college, Mary, but I did. I went to Rollins College in Winter Park outside of Orlando, and I actually dropped out after 2 years because I was partying too much and felt like I wasn't really getting my money's worth for school. But since then, I continued on. I did not get a degree, but I was able to pursue accounting courses, which did get me the job with the IRS and got me promotions. So I've completed 2 years of college and then started my career with the IRS, and I finished up as a senior manager in the executive ranks with the Internal Revenue Service.
You know, I didn't know that, Pete. I had no clue. I thought that you went at least as far as a master's degree. You conduct yourself as a highly educated man, which you are. But I guess some of that comes from your experience. Good for you. I have the education, but it was well wasted on me. Anyway, on to our next question. You've mentioned the IRS. While you were at the IRS, can you tell us about accommodations that were available to you in the workforce? Anything that was done to keep you employed?
Well, let me start by saying that the IRS now is an excellent agency. In fact, it's been recognized in the last probably 10 years as an agency which is at the leading edge of accommodation for disabled employees, and specifically visually impaired employees. But when I started, we're talking about 1975, and I don't think reasonable accommodation, the term or the legal notion, was a gleam in anyone's eye at the time. But they still managed to provide large print course material and reference material. I did a lot of studying of tax laws, you know, and if anybody has seen an Internal Revenue Code, it's about the size of the Manhattan phone book, with print the size of, you know, micro dots. But with my eyeglasses, my extremely thick magnifying lenses, and the large print, and some accommodation from things like supervisors and instructors and managers, I managed to do pretty well. And then come the 80s, there were things like magnifying lenses, CCTVs, which happened to match my visual acuity at the time. I was still partially sighted and able to navigate and read okay with a closed circuit TV. And I actually remember, I was commenting to a friend not too long ago, I remember testing Zoom text. I think it was in its infancy back in the 80s before it really came to full-fledged viable software in the 90s. But once I got with Zoom Text, I was in pretty good shape. And as my vision went south, the accommodations within the agency were phenomenal, I have to say. They have an entire accessibility program and a full staff of people equipped to study software and hardware and do assessments for all of their disabled employees. And they've got quite a robust program in connection with the Lions World School for the Blind, Lions World Enterprises. It's now called World Services for the Blind in Little Rock, Arkansas, where the IRS partners with the school to train new IRS employees for various positions, customer service representative positions, collection contact representative, and your buddy Kay over there has been in both positions, and I worked with her from a distance. But they've got a very aggressive, I would say, accommodation program, and I was very fortunate to have worked in that agency.
You're right, they do. And the school in Arkansas is a great school, from what I've heard. I've never attended, but yeah, Kay went through all the training and is our G-woman on the site. So, Pete, now in your everyday life, helping others and yourself, what devices do you use to accommodate your abilities?
When I retired, having been a JAWS user for about 15 years, I put the PC aside and picked up the Mac. And I'm not quite sure why I did that, but I guess I never felt totally comfortable with the Windows environment, you know, as a JAWS user, and I have a system access screen reader at home. I just, you know, I navigated okay, and I seemed to get around all right, but I just wasn't totally comfortable, and I'd heard such good things about the Mac that I dropped the PC, this is back in 2014, and picked up the Mac, and I'm now a pretty steady Mac user. In fact, the only reason I'm using a Windows computer now, as I mentioned, is because the Mac won't connect with your out-of-sight network. But I use a Mac, and actually that's where I do all my recording, audio recording and editing, and most of my, in fact, all of my work. And the iPhone, I have an iPhone and an iPad and an iPod Touch, and that's about it. So I'm an Apple kind of a platform guy.
What? No, iPod Shuffle, the little tiny thing? Oh, I'm in love with my Shuffle. You probably have one, you just forgot about it. And can you tell us, we were all curious, because as I said, in my earlier event today, we looked at blind abilities, and I'm totally impressed with that website. In fact, I have to go back and read more under the daily living, independent living link. Tell us about the website. What's it about, and your vision of that?
Well, I'm glad you like it, and we're quite proud of it. As I mentioned, Jeff Thompson is actually the initiator, the creator of the Blind Abilities brand, I guess it would be. The website is a fully accessible website. It is at www.blindabilities.com. And it was primarily our platform for podcasting. But the website has been designed to allow for simple navigation on any device, whether it's an iDevice or an Android or a PC or a Mac, to navigate our podcasts primarily. We also have a blog up there. A member of our Blind Abilities team named Cheryl, also known as Malusi, does a lot of blogging and podcasting as well. But we have categories of podcasts. We've done about 220 of them since I retired in 2014. Jeff and I met in late 2014 and started the podcast and the website in probably the spring of 2015. So right about 2 years, we've published about 217 at last count podcasts. And we have a variety of categories of podcasts. Our primary category is that of interviewing. We interview people and organizations that are of interest, that we think and hope are of interest to the blindness community. We do full-blown interviews ranging from 30 minutes to an hour in length, but we also do how-to demonstrations. We have an iAccess category, which is anything related to the iPhone, and we have probably two or three dozen demonstrations of iPhone features, ranging from the very basic to some of the more advanced things. We have Mac demonstrations, a section on independent living, Mary, as you mentioned, where we focus on everything from cane skills to cleaning your toilets to navigating around the kitchen. I'm forgetting categories, but we also do podcasts about podcasting, because Jeff and I are very much passionate about audio recording, editing, and producing. So I have a series on the use of Amadeus Pro on the Mac, Amadeus Pro is a editing software that's extremely user-friendly for Mac users. And I did an introductory series consisting of about, I don't know, 8 or 9 episodes on how to learn to use Amadeus Pro. And then I did another series in the summer and the fall of last year called The Process of Creating a Podcast, in which I walk through the step-by-step process of creating a podcast, starting with a Skype recorded interview with a guest, and then developing that recorded product, splitting tracks and doing multi-track editing and things like that. So it's a podcast website, and there's some blogs on there too, but we have a link, of course, for contacting us. We welcome and encourage people to contact us with questions, and we get quite a few of those too. So it's just a vehicle, a platform through which we can offer our products, mainly audio products. Mary?
I like that, and I have taken advantage of it. And you know, I go to the iAccess group. I'll be going more frequently. There's a gentleman in the room now, our windbag, Charles, that offers an iFun event the same time as your event, Pete. So I'm going to split my time between the two of you. Every other week I'll do iFun. Every other week I will be at iAccess. And Pete does run the group here in Jacksonville. Kay, Cheryl, and I are members of that group. Now, going back to blind abilities, do you accept submissions of other people's podcasts, or are these things that you produce yourself to put out there? There are some podcasters here on our site that do podcasts for outofsight.net, and if someone does a podcast that they're pretty happy with, would you accept that as a submission for blind abilities?
Well, you know, in the past, Mary, we have welcomed in other podcasters who have created, recorded, and produced their own podcasts. But at this point, I would have to say no. And that's not because we don't want to encourage people to be podcasters. In fact, we will do whatever we can to assist them in learning the craft. But I think Jeff and I made a decision not too long ago that, for example, you have a platform such as AppleViz, who has changed their position on that a couple of times, and now they entertain and welcome podcasts submitted by, you know, outside people. But I think at this point we are striving to create a brand that Jeff and I are producing, and while we would be more than willing and receptive to listening to submissions and things like that, we don't really look at it as a platform on which we can feature other podcasters like that.
Good information. Thanks for telling us that. Now, Pete, here on Out of Sight, I talk about blind abilities, and I've heard very good feedback. What type of feedback are you getting on the site?
We get a lot of good feedback, and predominantly questions. You know, we hear from people all over the world. We have probably close to 1,000 listeners who subscribe and download our podcasts on a regular basis, and they are all over the globe. And I remember just the other day I got an email. We have an email contact where if you just send an email to info@blindabilities.com or to me personally, I have an email account, PeteLane@blindabilities.com. We're happy to answer questions. And I heard from a listener in Scotland not too long ago who has his own nonprofit organization, and he is asking how to do certain tasks within Amadeus Pro. He managed to listen to my series on use of Amadeus Pro, and he went out and bought the software, which is relatively inexpensive. It's about oh, probably $50 or $60, and it's a Mac software program, and it's just as easy to use as slicing bread in terms of creating, recording, and editing podcasts. So he was creating videos and audio programs for his nonprofit organization. So, Mary, in answer to your question, more often than not, our communications, direct communications with our listeners, are things like, gosh, I heard your podcast. Thanks for doing what you do, but can you help me with this little feature? Or, hey, I want to own it. So it seems to be a constructive type of a feedback that we get. We don't get a lot of applause and don't really look for it, but the listeners that do take the time to drop us an email are very complimentary, but just want to learn a little bit more. So we use that feedback to determine the next course of action, like the next podcast topic or the next demo that we might record for iPhone or Mac or something like that.
Pete, a question that I didn't talk with you about. Technology changes and changes and changes, and last year's stuff. I'm using an iPhone 5C, totally obsolete. The people that I try to teach the iPhone to, they have far more skill than I have because they have features that I don't have. With those updates and upgrades, does it make it more difficult to do the website, have everything up to date? You must have to work more than 24 hours a day to keep up with everything. Now the Echo and Alexa and everything. I can't imagine what time and investigation you have to put into all of this and the expense to cover all of the upgrades that you have to do. Can you talk about that a moment for me?
Well, if you're speaking about covering updates and newer versions of iOS and newer iPhones in terms of doing demonstrations for podcast purposes. You know, Mary, I'm retired, and Jeff is retired, so we don't spend 24 hours a day. My wife probably thinks I do, but I don't. We do things as we identify them. We're not on a rigid schedule. In fact, if you go to the website, you'll see, as I mentioned earlier, we just posted our last podcast was on the topic of interviewing a guest who happens to be an online instructor, visually impaired, blind instructor who works for the University of Phoenix and teaches courses online. The interview we did before that was with the creators of the Buzz Clip. I'm working now on a full-blown compilation of kind of an introspective on Ira. You mentioned Ira, and I know Cheryl is listening and smiling as we speak, but I've interviewed, I should publish this within the next month, but I interviewed 4 users of Ira on Friday, and I'll be interviewing a couple of agents next week. So we kind of do things on a, I don't want to say on a whim because that sounds too arbitrary, but we do things that we want to do and that we think are important out there. We don't feel like, okay, now iOS 10.2.1 is out there. I've got to do a full-blown demonstration on all of those new features. I don't feel compelled to do that, which may be a detriment in many people's eyes, but it's kind of the MO that Jeff and I have as we approach our podcasts. We don't have a rigid schedule of podcast publishing. Many podcasts, in fact, most that I think are out there, will publish a podcast on a regular scheduled basis, once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month. Jeff and I do them as we identify them, as we pull a guest in and interview them. Jeff will take the lead on people that he has lined up, and he'll produce that and do all the full-blown editing in his own time, and I'll do the same. And as a result, while we don't have a rigid schedule, a structured schedule, we end up publishing on the average about 10 to 12 podcasts every month, which is probably more than most podcast feeds do. So I guess in answer to my question, I don't feel stressed or compelled to have to cover all of the new updates affecting the iPhone, whether it's an operating system, an app, or a new iPhone release.
Good, and I've noticed that it seems like when new technology comes out, you guys are right on it. And the demonstration that Cheryl did on Wednesday of the Ira glasses was very, very informative to me, and your knowledge of it. I guess you do a lot of investigation and research before you actually present something in the group and in a podcast. I really admire you for that, Pete. You do very well with it. Now, finally, where do you see yourself and blind abilities, say, in the next 5 years?
I don't know. And I don't say that lightly, but in keeping with what I just said, I'm not sure that we have a structured plan. We're not a business with a business plan for 2 years, 5 years, things like that. I am retired and enjoying my retirement, and I have a passion about doing audio production. I love speaking with people. I love interviewing people. I love producing something that I can be proud of. I pride myself on doing crystal clear audio recording and audio production with sophistication. And by that I mean I try to edit interviews and podcasts and demonstrations and presentations with multi-tracks and all kinds of sound effects. I try to make it entertaining. I have a great love for music, so most of my productions incorporate music, and it's an entertainment type of a passion. So I think with that in mind, Mary, having a five-year plan, per se, is kind of, you know, out of keeping with that. I just want to take it as it comes. Hopefully I'll be doing it and be successful and get the same exhilaration that I do now from doing it. That's where I hope to be. So simple answer, in 5 years I hope to be enjoying this to the same extent what I'm doing now.
And driving your car, the automated car, of course. Doing a demo about that. Pete, you've been wonderful. I think we're getting to the point where I'm going to ask you if there's anything else that you want to say. And after you give us your final statements, we're going to open the mic up so our group here can ask you some questions. So is there anything else that you would like to add before we open the gate up for other questions?
Sure. Thanks, Mary. First of all, you've been very complimentary, and I think that you are too much so. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who retired and started working on his Mac and learned this program that was relatively easy to use and happened to find myself in a great situation with a great partner. If you have not heard the podcast Blind Abilities, Jeff Thompson is a remarkable individual. And I find that working with him is just a joy. But as far as Blind Abilities, if you can get Blind Abilities, you can subscribe to our podcast feed through all kinds of vehicles, including our Blind Abilities app. We have a free app in the App Store that is very simple to use. Just go in there and type in Blind Abilities, two words, and it will be a simple app to navigate in iOS, and it will have all of our podcasts. You can elect to display as few as one or two or three of them, or you can display all 217 of them. It's a streaming app, so there's no impact on your storage usage on your iDevice, particularly those who have smaller devices like your 5C, Mary, which is, I think, only 8 gigs, but you stream them, and you'll see the variety is just unbelievable in terms of we're all over the board. I was remembering back a moment ago to a couple of montages we did last year on some funny things like inadvertent touching, you know, blind people who happen to bump into other people, whether they're sighted or otherwise, and how awkward that can find us. And so I did a kind of a humorous montage of audio that I got from a bunch of friends, including, I think, some folks here on your Out of Sight group right here, and to put them together with some funny sound effects. So it kind of paints a humorous picture of blindness-related things, including eating. The Quest for Culinary Competency is what I titled that one, and it was a humorous look at some of the awkward things that we find ourselves doing about eating, you know, finding the glass and finding the fork and then cutting that thick steak on a plate with a salad, and all of a sudden it goes all over the place and things like that. So we do, as I said, things that I hope are ringing true in the blindness community, and just had a ton of fun doing it. But if you're not familiar with the podcast, give it a shot. It's free, Blind Abilities, on the App Store, or go to your favorite podcatcher, something like Downcast or Overcast, or even the native iOS podcast app, which I'm not particularly fond of because it's kind of clunky. But just type in two words, Blind Abilities, and you'll subscribe to our feed. And if you have some time to just sit back and relax, listen to some entertaining, hopefully entertaining interviews and presentations. And if you wanted to learn something about your iPhone, maybe there's a demo, an iAccess demo in there that might just help. And if you wanted to learn about Amadeus Pro, gosh, I'd be flattered. Listen to the series, shoot me an email. I'd be happy to get into a dialogue. I'll call you. We can work with you on it. And I can't say how much I am impressed with that piece of software. So once again, I just wanted to say thanks, everybody, for welcoming me so openly. And thank you, Mary Kay, for taking lead on the interview, and I'll be happy to entertain any questions that might come along.
Thank you so much, Pete. And yeah, I have seen those funny podcasts, and especially from people that I know. They are really to the point. And I'll use some of the material in my Better at Blindness class, Pete, because you do touch on the real issues. Pete is a real guy. He doesn't think he's anything special, but we here think he is very special. So I thank you for coming in, and I'll be back at the end. But right now, I would like to open it up. For those of you who have questions, let's just hear the question. No background, or just ask your question and let Pete answer it. Thank you very much. Go ahead, first question.
Hi, Pete. That was a great interview. You did good work too, Mary Kay. You mentioned that you really have a passion for music. I'm also a musician, and I wondered if you play musical instruments, and do you play them as part of your podcast embellishment or background, whatever you want to use as a phrase?
Great question. I'm a child of the 60s. I was born in 1951, so that makes me 65. So I grew up in the 60s. I picked up a set of drums when the Beatles came over, picked up electric and acoustic guitar as a kind of a byproduct of my, you know, being around a band playing the drums. And then in the 70s and 80s, I played mostly acoustical stuff, Eagles and Skynyrd and Allman Brothers, and gosh, I love Southern rock and classic rock and things like that. So yes, I'm a guitarist. I've always considered myself to be a mediocre guitarist and a mediocre singer, but had a great deal of fun doing it, singing in clubs and bars, solo and with friends. So yeah, I'm a modest guitar player, modest drummer. And in answer to your question about the podcast, that's a great question. I have not played my guitar seriously for probably 10 years or more, so the answer to that is no, but I have a son who's 31 years old who I was able to teach everything about the guitar that I knew, and he picked it up in about 15 minutes. So he's a serious picker. He's a kind of a hard rock, heavy rock shredder on a lead guitar, but he plays a outstanding acoustical guitar, and you'll hear quite a bit of his acoustical music, guitar music, as background music, introductory type stuff on the podcasts. But great question.
This is Timmy here from New Zealand. Pete, I just came in late because of yesterday's birthday bash. I kind of was up practically all night and all day. But you were talking about, I'm not sure whether you said you're blind or not because I came in late. But if you were, you said you picked up the drums and that, how on earth did you manage to coordinate with the, you know, with the different drums? Because I tried it. I mean, I'm a musician too, but I tried the drums. But for the life of me, I couldn't coordinate. And the pedal would go the same time as the snares. And I just don't know how they coordinate. And I just wondered if it was different. If you're a blind person, you know, do they have a bit more trouble than sighted drummers?
Well, hey, Tim. New Zealand, my goodness, welcome aboard. I mentioned this earlier, and I had limited vision when I was younger. My vision has deteriorated slowly until probably the 1990s and around 2000 when I consider myself to have gone totally blind. So when I was picking up the drums back in my teens in the 60s and 70s, I did have vision. But I'm not sure that that was critical enough where it made a difference. And I don't know that having that vision is what allowed me to play the drums. I feel like I might have been able to do it without it. There were a lot more things on my mind to learning the drums than being able to see them. You know what I mean? I had a big cymbal, a ride cymbal, which is the one that, you know, you just hear in the background throughout all of the beats, and it was 22 inches long. If I couldn't find that one, then I had bigger problems than the vision. But fortunately, I was able to learn, and you know, in the last probably 20 years, Tim, the extent of my drumming has been on my knees and on my desk and on the side of the car when I'm riding with my wife, who you know, sometimes gets a little bit tired of it, but so I've been very lucky in that respect.
Hello, Pete. My name is Allie from near Boston, and I was just wondering, with the podcasts, what kind of topics do you guys cover?
Well, hi, Allie. Nice to hear your voice up in Boston. I bet you're cold up there. We actually are having a cold spell here in Florida. I'm in Jacksonville with Cheryl and Kay and Mary Kay. And we're having a cold spell. I think it's going to be into the 30s tonight. But, you know, that's your daytime high up there in Boston. But, well, just to give you an example, we interview people who are blind or who are making themselves known in the blindness community. For example, we have interviewed a gentleman by the name of Steve Letness, and this interview will appear on our podcast probably back last summer, maybe. Steve Letness is a blind film composer. He writes scores for movies, and he's a fully trained classical pianist, and he writes scores of music. Now, scores, in my mind, conjure up full-blown symphony orchestras, and he uses a particular type of a software where he can do that, and then he sends the written software program to a symphony orchestra who then records his music, and he plays, he scores, meaning he provides all of the musical background for music, for movies. In fact, he scored a movie that was just released by Sony Pictures in DVD called Santa's Boot Camp. It came out before Christmas. But we learned of him by following Twitter or seeing something in the newspaper, so we just reached out and contacted him and said, hey, gosh, you sound interesting. Can we interview you? And of course they love to do that. We talked to companies who make assistive technology or adaptive equipment. As I mentioned earlier, Ali, we interviewed the CEO of Aira, which is the smart glasses that Cheryl is using and that Debbie is using and that I'll be using soon. And I'm doing a follow-up interview with users of Aira and agents who provide assistance to the blind users. We will, on the other hand, so we do a whole bunch of different interviews, full-blown interviews that run about 30 to 45 minutes where we chat with people. I'm right now working on a podcast about an organization in South Florida, down in West Palm Beach, called Beyond Blind. And the woman that I interviewed is the founder of the organization, and they provide training for blind people down in the Miami area to learn to be chefs so they could learn to cook. They learn to be golfers. They learn to be exercise enthusiasts. They learn to be musicians. So it's just a world of different things. We also do what I call eye access demos, which are short demonstrations of different features on your iPhone. For instance, I just did one a couple of weeks ago on how to block unwanted callers who call your iPhone. When you get a person who calls and is soliciting because, you know, they want to sell you a computer, or they want to, they want to find something out about your timeshare condominium or something like that. How to block those callers? Well, you know, you got a call from them, but gosh, sometimes you get 2 and 3 and 4 calls over the course of months from these people. Well, you can go in on your iPhone and you can block those callers. So I do little demos like that. And we did a series on independent living skills where we had contributors from our team, Jeff and myself and Cheryl and Jeff's wife, Lori, would do demonstrations on how to, little tricks to get around the kitchen, you know, how to label your canned goods, how to use measuring cups, how to clean your bathroom, things along those lines. Cheryl does a series called Keyboard Ninjas, which is her series on different JAWS features, how to use particular JAWS commands and things like that. So in answer to your question, Ali, the topics, we do a million different topics. And I think that's what kind of makes it fun, because it keeps it interesting. It kind of mixes it up. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Hey, how you doing there, Pete? This is Roger from London, Canada. Yeah, big shout out to all the guys and gals there.
Jim Barr has entered the room.
Jacksonville. I've been to your fair city there. It's a nice place. Hey, don't forget about Glenn, man. You got Mary Kay, Cheryl, and Kay. Don't forget about Glenn. But hey, I wanted to give you two thumbs up, because when you mentioned that your podcasts were available and you can access them through, say, something like Downcast, that's what I use. And sometimes I find I cannot find what I'm looking for. Like, it's just, I know the podcast exists out there. So when you said that you have your own, you know, app, I'm like, that's going to be pretty easy. I'll just grab your app from the App Store and just go from there. But yeah, so I wanted to just...
Dynapple Queen has left the room.
Wanted to give you two thumbs up for your diligence in making your content available and accessible like that. because it just makes our life a whole lot easier. There's a lot of content out there, but sometimes I just find it difficult to grab or get, you know, this way or that way. So thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you, Roger. You know, we just, the last podcast, you're speaking of Canada, I'm referring to your Canadian connection here. We have a new member of our podcast team, Nick D'Ambrosio. He's in Montreal. And Mary, earlier when you asked me if we entertain posting, you know, podcasts that are created by other people, and I said no, but we did. This guy kept bugging me. He kept sending me Roger messages. You know, Roger is the messaging, the audio messaging app, and sent me emails. And this guy, Nick from Montreal, kept saying, gosh, I really like your podcast, and I'm trying to break into podcasting. Is there anything you could do for me? So we gave him some advice and told him to get a particular type of a microphone for his iPhone. And all of a sudden, he interviewed a lady about 3 or 4 months ago who has a massage studio in Montreal. And her name is Kim Holdbrook, and she's blind. And her entire staff of masseuses and masseurs, I guess it is, are blind or visually impaired. And he presented a demo interview with that he had done with this woman. And so we brought him onto our team. And the post that we just published about 3 days ago was an interview with Nicolina Marcella, I think her name is. She's the blind online professor with Phoenix University online. And Nick did that interview. So good to hear you from Canada. And but back to your question, Roger, and thank you so much. We're trying to get the word out. Jeff is a remarkable guy in terms of his computer abilities, and he administers the blindabilities.com website, and all of our podcasts are available there. But he approached the management staff of the website, which is Libsyn, which is a platform commonly used by a lot of podcast feeds, and he worked with them to develop the Blind Abilities app, and not only to develop the app, but to develop in a fully accessible way, to the point where now other blind podcasters are using the same type of an app, because it's really user friendly. So that's really good to know, and I'm glad that that sounds good to you. We're also on, I think, iTunes and Victor Reader Stream. I think you can subscribe to podcasts on your Victor Streams, and probably a few other things. TuneIn Radio. We're in TuneIn Radio. But I know what you mean. Trying to find something literally in the dark that's related to blindness is sometimes difficult. We did a little series last year on podcasts that we listened to, and we did about a 4-part series where we included little clips and shout outs to other podcasts that we listen to, like iAccess VO is a new one out there, or the Ability Stories, kind of a new podcast in the blindness field by a young lady out in Oregon named Tara Briggs, Ability Stories. That's a good one. She interviews all kinds of disabled people. And, of course, you have your Apple Viz and Blind Bargains and the Tech Doctor and all of those things. But often new podcasts will be out there and you just don't have a way to get them into your feed. But that's great information, Roger. And say hello to Nick for me.
A really good podcast, if you're into Apple, is TII. You can find that app, podcatcher, in the iTunes store. It's just Tango India India. It's all one word, lowercase. They discuss everything, iPhone, iPad, iPod, IU, name it. and they do include voiceover. So I listen to that one on a regular basis. And I just looked on Overcast and found your podcasts through that. So I'm going to be listening there.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
Mr. Ed has left the room.
Thanks, Pete. I'm definitely going to download your app there. And if I knew Nick, I would say hi for you, but he's in Montreal, so that's quite a distance away. But anyways, thanks just the same.
Hi, Pete. This is Ted Galanos in Houston. I didn't really know who you were when Debbie put out the schedule for you to be interviewed today, but I turned on Sight Into Sound Radio this morning at around 7:40 this morning, just before the Houston Chronicle newspaper was read, and it was playing one of your podcasts. I'm not an Anyphone user, so I don't really know what everybody's talking about in terms of apps and whatever. Due to special disabilities, I really can't. It's not logistically possible for me to use a phone. But listening to your, I don't remember what the podcast was about, but I did catch the name and associate it with the interview tonight. So your messages are getting out on other radio broadcasts too.
Wow, that's really cool. In Houston, Sight Into Sound. You know, Jeff, my buddy, partner Jeff, is working closely with state agencies. He's up in Minnesota, and he's working really closely with the Minnesota State Services for the Blind, and I think they, in turn, are kind of transmitting our podcast out to other state agency feeds, and so maybe you'll see it or hear it on things like radio reading services and things like that. But that's super. Thanks a lot, Ted. Appreciate that.
Pete, our final board member just entered the room. You have the entire board here with us. Debbie, of course, president. And Mark just came in. He is piano star. He is the vice president. We have our treasurer, Rich, who is a retired judge. He is in the room. Pam is the secretary, and as I mentioned before, Gary is our newly elected member. We have the entire board here. And Pete, it's getting close to the top of the hour. Not quite. We have time for one more question, but I want to thank you again. And the board is here. If you have any questions for the board members, don't hesitate to ask. And hi, Mark. Welcome in. Anyone else with another question?
Hey, Pete. My question is, I this is not something I think I've ever asked you, so I can't say I already know the answer. In the work that you've done, which I am familiar with at your prior years of work experience, what was your, in your eyes, what was your greatest achievement with the IRS?
Wow. I've got 39 and a half years to kind of scroll through in my head. I don't know. Kay, thank you, by the way. You stumped me. First of all, the sheer tenure of 39 and a half years of service is probably pretty cool in my head. That when I was 24 years old, and shifting from job to job, and then all of a sudden, I didn't say this earlier, but the state of Florida, DBS, Division of Blind Services, I had a good friend who worked for DBS, and he called me one evening and he said, and at that point in time I was working for Allied Van Lines. I was moving heavy furniture and packing up household goods and just, living a life of manual labor. And he said, the IRS is interviewing starting up a blind program in Florida. Are you interested? And I said, sure. So I traveled to Daytona Beach and interviewed and then relocated up to Jacksonville and started a career that I thought would be, a few months. I had no desire nor any inclination that I would be a Fed or a bureaucrat or, have a 9-to-5 job. So 39 and a half years later when I retired, I think that's probably the single most noteworthy accomplishment. But Kay, it sounds corny, but the people, and particularly what I could do for the blind and visually impaired employees within the agency. We worked hard to develop the partnership between the agency and the Lyons World School, now the World Services for the Blind School in Little Rock, Arkansas. And that when I became a manager and worked up into the management ranks and up into the senior management ranks, I had more of an impact and was able to influence the hiring of blind people into the agency. And I think over the course of my management career, I was able to hire probably between 35 and 40 blind employees, many of whom are still working and and we're able to find gainful employment. So I think that's it. And I got some awards. I got a commissioner's award. I got an award from the president on my work with visually impaired employees and programs within that agency. But, I remember people like you, and I remember, people that I hired back in 1985. They're still working here in Jacksonville. Terry Glassner, you probably work with her, and some of the programs that I was able to put in place that actually made those people viable and important employees. They weren't just people over in the corner who were using a braille board and JAWS and, for whom we had to, give a nod and a wink every once in a while. These were contributing employees who gained management careers and technical careers and things like that. So I'm all over the board, Kay, but you caught me off guard, but I think it's probably the people.
Oh, come on, Pete. You know, the greatest accomplishment was retirement. Well, I'm talking about myself. I'm retired from the college, from Florida State College. So yeah, retirement was my greatest achievement, I think. We are almost at the top of the hour. If it's all right, we will entertain one more question.
This is Mickey Tubner. I'm reside in Bismarck, North Dakota. And my question is about if a person wanted to take some ongoing computer courses, are you obviously familiar with the Hadley School for the Blind? If so, can you expound upon that?
I am familiar, yes. And Bismarck, you're up there too, but it's pretty chilly. Jeff's up in outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota, but I think you're obviously far north of there. As a matter of fact, we interviewed a singer from North Dakota. It wasn't Bismarck. It was Blind Joe. He was on The Voice last year, and I still like to follow him. He was a really cool character. He sang country music and got pretty far into The Voice, but he was from North Dakota, and used to talk about firing up the batteries for cars and plugging your batteries in up there to combat the cold and things like that. But back to your question, the Hadley School, I have not taken specific classes from Hadley myself, but we did interview Douglas Walker, who is the iFocus presenter for the Hadley School. He does the iFocus videos on YouTube and the iFocus podcasts on their podcast feed. And Larry Muffet, who's their facilitator and their president at the time. So I know that they've got a world of courses available, a full curriculum, everything from entrepreneurship to basic Braille, learning Braille, navigational O&M things, and of course computer skills, Windows and things like that. So I think that they're just as about the best program out there in terms of online accessible courses for covering a whole bunch of different subjects.
That's great. I'm thinking about, I'd like to take some more courses on the entrepreneurial side of things. I am a piano tuner technician. I had lived in Alabama, Tuscaloosa, for 23 and a half years. And I moved back to my home state of North Dakota back in December. It was actually December the 15th. and since moved to Bismarck, and I'm hoping to get a small business started up. But before I do, I'd like to at least take a course or two on entrepreneurship and business building in that aspect, and I have a thought that had the school...
I think it's an excellent place to look. They've got the full school of entrepreneurship, so go for it. And by the way, we interviewed a piano tuner, a blind piano tuner, last summer, so that's on there too. Small world. Good luck to you.
Yes, you did, Pete. I read that, or I listened to that. That was a good interview. Pete, I can't thank you enough. We are past the top of the hour. I appreciate this more than I can say. You're pretty charming. I don't notice that in the iAccess group. And you gave me a good idea. Cheryl Kay and I are going to talk about this massage therapy thing. You know, sounds like something we could use in Jacksonville, don't you think? Anyway, Pete, it has been my pleasure to interview you. You're very gallant, very friendly, and I just feel like you and I are sitting at a bar now having a couple drinks and enjoying a conversation. That's how well you've done. I appreciate it. I'm going to say goodnight now. If you want to hang around, people might have more things to say. Deb, Rich, any member of the board, please speak up. And Pete, don't hesitate to refer people over here to outofsight.net, out-of-site.net. We play games every evening. 8 o'clock, 9:15 are a big game. We have other events throughout the day. So, and Saturday and Sunday, we're out here almost all day. We have a really good time. And I always recommend your website to my blind friends who are looking for a way to do something. Go check. I'm sure Pete has covered it, which you most likely have. You and Jeff do a great job. Thank you for sharing your time with me, Pete. Good night.
Well, thank you so much, Mary, and thanks to everybody. You've been really, really welcoming, and it's just been a pleasure. And I do want to encourage you to send me an email. I'm at petelane@blindabilities.com. And if you forget the email address, just go to the website, blindabilities.com, and there's a contact link there. And I would love to hear from you if you have questions specific to your circumstances, or if you have a suggestion for a podcast topic, or if you have any questions on how you might get into podcasting. I love that kind of stuff. And I wanted to thank Debbie and the board and you, Mary Kay, for inviting me. And I think unless Debbie is not willing to chat with me, that outofsight.net might be the subject of an upcoming podcast on blind abilities. So thanks, you guys. It's been really great. I appreciate that.